This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. A little bit later this hour, your chance to win tickets to go see Disturbed at Capital One Arena. We'll be joined by Mike Renner shortly from CBS Sports to talk some NFL. I was just looking at his Twitter, and he has this highlight reel or low light reel of Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. I think it actually was posted by his former colleague, Austin Gale. And there's four touchdown passes the Jaguars receivers dropped. I remember Cakes talking about. I remember Cakes talking about Brian Thomas.
Gabe Davis booted at least one.
I mean, he's got one to Kirk right in his hands. And it's funny because when we're spending our time watching the Commanders mostly, and I watch Red Zone, you don't necessarily see all those plays. Like, you'd be talking about a totally different story on Trevor Lawrence in that game,
right?
If his receivers catch the ball. All right, joining us right now is Mike Renner with CBS Sports Now NFL draft analyst. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, Mike, I was talking about, I think you retweeted it, but just this montage of touchdown passes. I think Ian Harditz posted it, of Jaguars receivers dropping balls in the end zone. And that's why, you know, you guys do what you do, where you look at every throw, because if these guys catch the balls, it's a totally different story on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best team core. They've paid a lot of money. If you go look at the cap hits for some of these guys, whether it's Gabe Davis, whether it's Christian Kirk, to just not be that good, flat. Like, frankly, it's unfortunate. So Brian Thomas Jr. looks like a star, but he also had a drop in that game. So Trevor, the past 2 weeks, I mean, he's been fine, especially 2 weeks ago. He was actually awesome. But I do think the talent around him this year is just, it ain't enough, and it's not like they're doing enough to, you know, scheme a ton of guys open in that offense either.
Mike, give us your thoughts on Jaden Daniels' body of work through six games. I see you tweeted on October 6th at Mike Renner. Jaden Daniels might already be the best go-ball thrower in the NFL. He's been uber impressive early in his career.
Through six games, so I've been doing this since, 2015 NFL draft analysis in terms of like projected rookies to the NFL. There's not been a better rookie through six games. There just hasn't. I mean, what he's doing at the NFL level right now is beyond, I think, anyone's wildest dreams. You just don't expect a quarterback to look the way he has. And it's just the poise. Even this past week, I think the first week they really like took away the run game. Pretty much every single week they had that to lean on, and they were so successful in that regard. And he's obviously a big part of that. But it took away the run game, and everyone thought, or at least I thought, like, what's it going to look like when that's the case? Because, a lot of great quarterbacks, they do it all on their own. They were able to do it all on their own. And Jaden, I thought, when they were down two scores, he was still battling. When everyone knew he was going to pass and when he was under quick pressure, he was still making the right read, decisive, getting the ball where it needed to go. He just, sometimes guys weren't getting open the way he needed them to. So, man, yeah, like I said, hard to be more impressed with what he's done through six games in his career.
And piggybacking on that, Mike, Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. You tweeted he obviously was taking notes at USC. I mean, even some of these wide receiver screens, he had a flea flicker to then throw a screen pass. He's been very creative.
Yes, he really looks like he's turned a page in his career from the guy we saw at Arizona. Now, I will say it's still early on. We'll see how the season progresses, because if Cliff was known for anything, it was kind of the end of those seasons at Arizona. But he had some hot starts. Kyler Murray was like MVP front runner through like week 10 at one point, and then the wheels started to fall off. People started to catch on to what they were doing offensively, and he didn't have that sort of second act to his play calling. So we'll see if that's changed. But, man, even just early on, a lot different from the guy we saw in Arizona, and just perfectly tailored to Jaden Daniels and his strengths. I mentioned him being the best go ball thrower in the NFL, and it's like this offense really lulls teams into sleep by peppering them underneath. You know, just peppering the quick passing RPO game, those screens you mentioned. And then once your eyes as a defender start to be like, I need to get in on those, I need to come up and make plays on those, boom, you perfectly timed go balls over the top, these deep shots that Jaden's just so good at that they just really, it's a perfect marriage at this point in their careers.
Is it sustainable, though? And here's the thing, I agree. I think Jaden's, he's blown me away. I think he could do it all. The only question is, can that frame stay healthy? I think I've seen, I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll come back to earth, but he sure looks like the real deal. Makes the progressions, you know, makes all the throws. But, you know, prior to the season, we said the offensive line wasn't good enough. Maybe they're playing a little over their heads a little bit. We said the receivers weren't good enough. Maybe our team's going to catch on. Are they going to continue to score 30 points a game?
I don't see why not, honestly. I'll just say
I love that.
I think the way they play is sustainable, because it's not predicated on, you said the offensive line's not good enough. It's not predicated really on the offensive line. It's predicated on the running game,
right,
which is so, when you have Jaden Daniels as a quarterback, is so different for your offensive line. It basically puts defenders in this constant bind of not knowing where the ball is actually going to go. Is it going to get handed off? Is Jaden going to keep it? They can't commit fully to one way or the other, and that just makes your life so much easier as an O-lineman. And then when you can consistently do that and just consistently play that brand of football, you don't get into the third and longs, right, that really get your quarterback killed. You don't get into those obvious passing situations that are really going to probably expose a few of those guys up front. But then there's also guys up front that I think are playing darn good football. I think Sam Cosmi's, you know, playing at borderline Pro Bowl level at guard. Like, I think they've had guys play much better even when they are asked to do the difficult things along the offensive line than anyone expected. So it's, like I said, no real reason to point to where I think someone's going to take a big step back and we're going to see this offense go into the toilet.
All right, Mike, we want to ask you about the trades from yesterday, so we'll get to that. But real quick, last Commander's question for me anyway. Do you think, we were talking about this earlier in the show a couple segments ago, do you think that the Commanders should go out and, you know, offensively that it doesn't look like they need help? Correct. All right. So, but before the deadline, do you think the Commanders should go out and get some defensive help, whether it's a corner or it's an edge rusher? We threw out names like Hassan Reddick and Za'Darius Smith and guys who are, you know, older and maybe on a final year of a contract. Do you think they should go out and get some help before the deadline's over to help them possibly win a division?
I struggle with that, thought process of trying to add, just because football is so much different than like baseball, where that's obviously commonplace of adding that guy, trying to fit that guy into your scheme right away. I think you just want to be more of a homegrown team, especially with the energy in that roster and in that locker room right now. I'm not sure you want to go messing it up by adding, especially a piece like Hassan Reddick and like what he's done over the course of this, you know, not even showing up to the facilities part of thing that he's doing in New York. So I would take a more long-term approach, because usually anytime they could trade at the deadline, it's kind of like this short-term play.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great window that's opening up. You know, no rookie's ever won a Super Bowl, so I think you're still playing for next year, year three, year four of his rookie contract, where he's still very cheap, where you still have this kind of budding roster. And that's kind of what they did in the draft, right? They took so many swings of the bat. They had so many picks this year that they just wanted to reload this roster. I think you keep that mentality. And I don't think trading for one guy is what's going to put you over the edge this year.
Okay. All right. Some big names get traded yesterday. Give us your thoughts, first of all, on Devontae going to New York.
I thought it was 2 weeks overdue, man. If they would have had him before the Broncos game, they might have won three straight instead of lost three straight. So to me, if they were going to do it, I can't believe it took them this long to do it. I don't think it's too little too late. I still think that puts them into the playoff picture. This defense has been good enough to make the playoffs. They're definitely missing the wide receiver, too. So this puts them in a wild card, but they could have won the division, and they could have been in a position to have home playoff games. And, you know, now with Aaron Rodgers at his age trying to go on the road for three straight games and then make a Super Bowl, I'd be hard-pressed to see that being the case. So I think it's a little too late, but it does make them a playoff contender at minimum.
Hey, Mike, I thought it was bad for Cleveland already, sitting at 1-5, not scoring 20 points in a single game this season. Now they deal Amari Cooper to the Bills, and their next three, now they're all at home, but they're against Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers. Like, I don't see a win in any of those three games, especially without one of their top offensive weapons now, having Josh Allen throwing him the ball instead of Deshaun Watson, who's been historically terrible.
Yeah, what a win for Amari Cooper, man.
Life win for that guy. Yeah.
Buffalo and Cleveland are probably like equal-ish sort of cities in terms of quality of life, but Deshaun Watson to Josh Allen is a massive upgrade, and I do think for the Bills, that's what they're missing. Teams are playing man coverage against them and just not worried about any of those guys winning one-on-one on the outside. This at least gives them a little juice. From the Browns' perspective, though, yeah, it's over. Unfortunately, like, it's over not just this year. It's over for, like, the next 2 to 3 years. You have this contract on the books with Deshaun Watson that just puts you in a unwinnable position from a team-building perspective. And if this roster wasn't good enough, because this was kind of their all-in roster. Remember, they traded for Jerry Jeudy this offseason. Like, they made plays for this year thinking this could be the year. If he's going to look like this with that roster, it ain't going to happen. So they're going to have to do a massive reset, and I think this is only the first domino to fall here.
When you watch Deshaun, what is it about him that has become so bad? Is he just slower with his decisions? Is he not as athletic? Is he not as accurate? What's happened to his game?
I don't think he cares as much. Like, I think the whole, you know, all the sexual assault allegations have basically put him in a mental spot where he's not the guy anymore. You know, he was the man his entire life from Clemson to the NFL, had a confidence to him that was, you know, uncoachable. That's just gone. It can't be, because he's like a pariah anywhere he goes. No one looks at him as a star. Everyone looks at him as the guy to avoid. So I think that's the biggest thing. But then I think the shoulder, whatever, he's missing more throws than he's ever missed. You know, it kind of all goes hand in hand. But if he is hampering a consistent shoulder injury, it looks like that on tape.
Hey, Mike, there's some big games this week. Just kind of get your thoughts on a few of the matchups. Seattle's in Atlanta, right? I mean, the Texans are in Green Bay. Combined record there is 9-3. Lions, Vikings, massive, right? Chiefs, Niners, massive. I mean, there's some Ravens, Bucks on Monday. I mean, this slate for week 7 is a big one. There's 5 or 6 really good matchups.
Oh, massive turnaround from last week when it was literally just Commanders, Ravens, right? Like, I think no other game. I mean, Lions, Cowboys is billed, right? It got hyped, but it didn't show up on the football field. So I think a lot of good, like, kind of teams jockeying for where do they stand atop their respective conferences. I think we're going to see that with the Packers at Texans. I think they're both kind of in the same level, whether it's the NFC or the AFC. They're kind of like that third or fourth team in their respective conferences, which one, you know, comes out on top there. And I also really like that Falcons-Seahawks matchup, because they're kind of both, you know, the Falcons are atop the division, but I think they're both going to be in that wild card mix when it's all said and done, and both desperately need to keep themselves in above 500, especially from the Seahawks perspective. They can't be dropping multiple games in a row the way they have. So I do think it's a much, much better week of football this weekend than we saw last weekend.
Hey, what are you hearing on Tua? And when are you predicting he comes back?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to shut him down, truthfully.
For the whole year,
depending
really?
Depending on how the wow. next you know, week or so goes for them, depending on, you know, when he does get medically cleared. But they scored 60 points in 5 games. You know, they're anemic right now. Banged up offensive line. It's not like when he comes back, he's going to have this nice situation where he's not going to get hit. He's going to take some more hits like that. And with how easily, you know, that.
Mike, you there?
He's still there. It's just, he might be a bad sell. He's still on the line.
It's surprising that you say Tua shut down for the year, but.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I thought he was going to be back in maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Did they say that officially? Because I thought the coach said.
The speculation was around week 8, week 9.
Yeah, they were speculating, obviously. I mean, they got to wait to see how he clears all the protocols. But I mean, I guess it could happen.
Yeah, for sure. All right, is he back? Let me see here. No? Okay. Maybe his phone just died. I'll tell you what happens to me all the time. I hang up on my family and my friends that I talk to all the time. But these freaking AirPods or, you know, earbuds.
They stay connected the whole time?
No, because I'll just want to take them out because it doesn't sound great. And I'll put them in. And as soon as you take them out, put them in, it hangs up on you.
Right.
You just bump it, it hangs up.
Imperfect technology.
Yeah, it ain't perfect. I don't think Bluetooth is that great.
No, it's not.
All right. Hey.
Mike, you there?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
All right, so I'm kind of surprised about the Tua thing, but I could see it happening. What about McCaffrey? What are you hearing about his comeback? I read somewhere yesterday, possibly after the bye, which is week 10.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm putting them back out there. It's just going to be it's going to be tough. They're not a good football team. They've scored, 60 this season? They're just – it's not worth it. He went down on that hit, a run-of-the-mill hit. I can't imagine putting him back out there this year. He's going to take more hits like that and one more like that, and that's probably the end of his career.
Jeez. Well, I'm glad I took him number one overall in my fantasy league.
Oh, no.
Well, you weren't the only one.
Although in my other fantasy league, I had a number one overall, and I steered away, and I went Breece Hall because I didn't want to put all the eggs in one basket.
Smart. All right, Mike, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll have to catch up with you again soon, man.
For sure, fella. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
That's Mike Renner from CBS Sports.
You know how we talked about a redraft yesterday and – where somebody like Emmanuel Forbes would fit. I can't even remember. We were talking about Bilal Coulibaly. Where would your redraft be in fantasy football this year? Derrick Henry won?
Derrick Henry's up there.
He wasn't one. Oh, you just said you took Breece Hall one.
He'd be pretty high. If not one, he's going top three.
You know what? Yeah, I would probably be Henry.
Is it pretty simple? I mean, just to look at who's produced the most numbers. I mean, Henry's
scoring. Yeah, but it also depends on
every
position.
Game. That's what I'm saying. Based on position and factoring it in.
Yep.
If you do value running backs.
It's just interesting how it changes because C-Mac was number one, right?
Yep.
Either Christian McCaffrey.
C.D. Lamb was a high pick.
C.D. Lamb,
two or three.
Justin Jefferson.
Who was he saying that at the end there that if he has one more injury, his career's over? Tua? Yeah. Maybe. Tua says he has no designs on retiring.
We'll see.
Sometimes you need somebody from the outside to protect you.
Yeah,
he was
protect you from yourself.
No, he was saying McCaffrey, too.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.